people of Earth, the Action Elite has infiltrated SuperMarcy.com. This podcast is now under our control. Do not adjust your sets.
No!
Go, go!
This is my podcast, and I'm taking it back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all right.
Yes, it's all mine. Nobody is taking control of SuperMarcy.com or Super Podcast.
God damn it, I'll crush you.
I'm in charge. I'm not going to attempt
to feel in charge.
I am in charge. Yeah, but I'm not going to continue on with that.
we've been free to introduce me.
Yeah, well, to those listening, obviously, welcome to Super Podcast. Well, the Super Action Elite Podcast. There we go. You can infiltrate it. I'm, of course, your host, Super Marcy, and with me, not as always, because we've maybe only done this like one other time, the head honcho at the Action Elite, Mr. Owen Friel.
Hello.
Hopefully I didn't butcher your name because I can never pronounce anybody's name.
Yeah, that was good. I don't need to have you killed, which is very good.
Yeah, well, whoever tries will just die an agonizing death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Just a quick, before we actually get started, Bede, who regularly does the co-hosting on Super Podcast, is not here. Because
he's tied up in my basement.
Yeah, he got kidnapped, and I believe right now he's probably being tortured by dwarves in your basement.
I think I heard him screaming earlier, but I just ignored it.
Yeah, he probably would be. You might just need to throw him some scraps.
Yeah, he's crying like a schoolgirl, actually. Sorry, Bede, but your secret's safe with me, Marcy, and the rest of the entire world.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much what happened to Bede. So he's not here. He is crying like a little schoolgirl while being tortured by dwarfs. I shouldn't call them midgets. I don't know.
I call them midgets. We're not politically correct around here.
No, I don't think I've ever been politically correct. When I try, it just fails miserably, as it just did. So
I just don't try, ever.
Yeah, we just don't care.
Nope.
The Aussie in me doesn't care, and I'm sure the, I don't know, what do you want to call yourself, the Scotsman?
I'm a Scot.
The Scottish man.
Scottish and Irish. Yeah.
Yes. You got the best of both worlds.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. Best of British.
You're like Sean Connery mixed with Liam Neeson.
Jesus Christ.
Does that even make sense? I don't know.
I know. I can't do a Liam Neeson voice. I'm not even going to try.
I can't really do either. I don't want to try imitate anybody. It's a train wreck.
Yeah. Can anybody actually do a Liam Neeson impression?
Just be like, there he goes. You're about to be taken.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's sort of it's whenever he tries to do the American accent. So I remember a Family Guy who took the piss out of him at one point. Sort of like, we're looking for the emergency generator. he's trying to sound American, but he just can't hide the Irish accent. It's really difficult for him. It's like Jared Butler trying to hide his Glasgow accent. It's like, it's gonna be biblical. I was like, I'm pretty sure Americans don't say gunny.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, I guess, I don't know, usually this podcast usually has the Aussie accents or American or Canadian, but it is a bit different with you. So I hope people understand us.
I don't care.
I understand you perfectly well.
Everybody can understand me, yeah. My accent's awesome.
It is. I like it a lot. I like accents. They're awesome. All right. Well, our actual subject, we have a few different things we're going to talk about on the podcast, but our subject, sadly, isn't accents, which I'd fail miserably at, as I already said. We will begin the podcast by talking about The Expendables 2, and we'll also talk about The Expendables 1, or whatever you want to call it, The Expendables 2, but we'll focus on The Expendables 2 because it was a recent release and we were both very excited to see it, and sadly Australia got it like 2 weeks later than everyone else, which was ridiculous. I did go to a advanced screening, so I didn't have to wait the whole 2 weeks.
So really, but a month behind the rest of the world then, that was good.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, we'll just start off, like, how did you what were your feelings, like, as soon as you saw the movie? Was it everything you wanted it to be?
It was, yeah. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great. I gave it 5 stars and thought it was the best action movie of the year. But that's not to say it's flawless. I mean, the script was ropey at best. I mean, the scripts to both movies aren't great, but you still enjoy them for what they are. They're old school action movies. But as I did a blog a week or so ago when I was comparing them both, and I thought that both the Expendables movies were slightly missed opportunities where they could have been sort of proper men on a mission movies, like Where Eagles Dare or something like that, where rather than having the frankly awful Arnie one-liners, and I mean, you know, Arnie is fine in movies like Total Recall and stuff like that, where the one-liners are funny, but they don't ruin the film. But for some reason, his one-liners just didn't fit in this movie. They felt just sort of stuck into it, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. I don't know, I laughed, but I laughed because they were awful.
Yeah, that was the whole point. But it was him doing the, you know, what's next, Rambo? And, you know, that was just too lame.
I don't know. I kind of just sat there like sort of groan laughing with that line. I was just like facepalm. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, but I still really enjoyed it. The fight scene between Van Damme and Sly was great. A little short, but I thought it was fine. I mean, it didn't need to go on that long, because if anybody's been in a fight in real life, they know that, you know, a real fight doesn't last much longer than a minute or two anyway.
So, yeah, it was just a big brutal, just man-to-man fight.
Yeah. Like, whenever Sly's pounding the shit out of Van Damme's chest, just pure Rocky style, and you're just like, yes. I mean, that was great. I thought it was a really enjoyable movie. Thoroughly enjoyed it. It's definitely my favourite action movie of the year, closely followed by The Raid and then Safe.
The Raid is my number one of the year. It hasn't changed at all. This, as far as action movies, I haven't seen a lot of new ones this year, but yeah, The Raid and The Expendables 2 are definitely like right up there for that. The Raid is quite a different movie, but
yeah, you know, can't compare them. They're very, very different.
They are very different. But this was just it didn't take itself seriously, and that's a problem I found with the first one. It kind of did take itself a little bit too seriously, and this felt a lot more relaxed, and that definitely helped. I felt, you know, with some, I don't know, maybe it was having, I don't know, the Simon West influence. It was a much easier film to look at, and I know that Sly wasn't a big fan of, you know, a lot of the shaky cam stuff in the first one, which they tried to do away with the director's cut. And that was kind of I don't know, it just didn't seem to fit The Expendables, and I just, the plot at times just didn't really make too much sense, and I just felt that was kind of fixed with Expendables 2, where this was a lot more straightforward. You know, motivations are clear in the movie. Obviously this is complete spoiler talk.
Yeah.
You know, they're on a mission, and you know, I mean, you know straight away, Liam Hemsworth is dead meat.
He's 2 days from retirement, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know he's going to get killed. And you know what? He was fine in the movie for me. I thought he worked.
He was good in it. I thought he was good. We were all bitching before we saw the movie, thinking, yeah. Oh, what is this guy doing? Who is this guy? He hasn't been in an action movie before. Fuck him. And then I saw it, and then I was like, oh, wait, he's actually one of the best actors in the film.
Yeah, he's actually really, really good. It helps that he is an Aussie. Yes.
Of course.
No, but he's really good. Yeah. They, I, 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 this obviously, you know, coming from me, I'm a big Hemsworth brothers fan, so I don't think I could really say anything bad about either of them. They're both awesome. They're just awesome dudes. But, you know, he was really good. You felt there was a connection between him and Barney or Sly, whatever I want to call him, his character, his real name, you know what I mean. So when, you know, the Van Damme, the Villain, however the hell you want to say his name.
Jean Villain.
Jean Villain. Yes, the villain of the story. You know, when him and his crew show up and, you know, they've captured Liam or Billy the Kid, whatever you want to call him again. I mean, you know it's going to happen, but it's actually a very emotional and it is an impactful scene when it happens. And the way that Jean Villain actually does away with him is awesome in the way that it's done. Like, this is brutal. You know, these guys mean fucking business. They're not fucking around. And, you know, I was waiting. I'm like, where's my Van Damme? Where's my Van Damme? Where's my Scott Adkins? Please hurry up and show up. And then they show up and I'm like, yes. I mean, I was like, raising my arms when they like showed up, and yeah.
Adkins was an absolute bastard in it as well. I see that bit whenever he's like saying to Statham, like, go on, pick it up, pick it up,
pick it up.
And Statham's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. You're waiting for him to fight, and then of course they have a big fight at the end.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen The Expendables 2, well, really, you're not an action fan, you're a fucking disgrace, but anyway.
Agreed.
But either way, when Statham and Atkins have the big fight at the end, and then it's really the return of the epic bad guy death. Now, I've always been a huge advocate of bad guys dying spectacular deaths, like Universal Soldier, you know, you're discharged, Sarge, you know, love all that shit. But then you got Scott Adkins going into the rotor blade of the helicopter, and then Statham with the knuckle dusters. Can't beat the classics.
My initial reaction when that scene happened, I was like, oh, fuck you, Statham, I don't like you anymore.
You monster.
How dare you do that to Scott Adkins?
Well, you can do what they do with Universal Soldier and clone him or make him his twin brother for the next one.
Yeah, I was totally like, Expendables 2, twin brothers for Scott Adkins and Van Damme. You know, it could be Claude Villain.
Yeah, there you go.
And Hector could be henchman.
You never even hear Hector's name in the entire film.
I don't think so. You don't.
He's just, you know, the henchman.
You know, he is a henchman.
But, yeah, you know, I definitely think they should have a character called Henchman next, or just Henchman.
You're a hench. That's awesome. But, you know, Scott Adkins, I was so surprised how much he's in the movie, and he's rarely featured on any of the promotional stuff. I'm like, that's a disgrace.
I know, it's like, I don't know if he's, you know, screwed somebody's daughter in Hollywood or something, and, you know, he's outlawed or something, but, like, even in the Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning post, they've got Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, Scott Adkins.
Yeah,
it's like a tiny wee picture in the corner, and you're like, "Well, why aren't you, you know, posting this guy out and saying, here's your biggest action star in the world on a plate? Why is he, you know, not huge?"
I don't know. I guess they, I don't know. Maybe people don't think enough people know about him, but you just need to really promote him, and people will see his name, go look him up, and just be blown away by it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he is the most complete fighter in the world. So, I mean, you know, you got to watch the Undisputed movies and see Yuri Boyka, which is still his best character. I mean, Boyka is just legendary.
He is. I mean, Hector Henchman is kind of like, you know, a play on the Yuri Boyka character. Yeah. It's like, oh, so that's what happened to Boyka.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted people to chant, Boyka, Boyka, in this movie, but it didn't happen.
Notice whenever he plays a bad guy, he has a beard and a Russian accent.
Yeah.
It's always, every movie, it's always like, I'm the bad guy, so I'm Russian.
And you can do a Russian accent, comrade.
He's a capitalist pig.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, he was one of the, I mean, him and Van Damme, highlights of the movie. Like, I don't know, I want to sort of have I don't know, sometimes I prefer having some kind of background on a bad guy. It's not necessary, but I don't know, I almost wanted something with the villain character, but they really didn't have that. He wasn't in it as much as he really should have been, which was one of the things I found as sort of a weakness. I mean, it's not a big weakness. It's not anything that ruins the movie. I just felt we could have had something a bit more with him, but it's because he played it perfectly. He was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I think this year really is the return of Van Damme. I mean, he was great in Expendables 2, and he's an excellent villain. I mean, I always enjoyed him in that underrated movie Replicant he did a few years ago, where he played that serial killer, and he's an absolute bastard in that as well.
He is a great... He makes for a great bad guy. I mean, I don't know.
Arguably better than a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, not so much in No Retreat, No Surrender, but,
All I said about that, but there,
That movie's awesome! No Retreat! Yeah. No Surrender!
Russian.
Yes, he is Russian in that movie. But he's good in, like, Black Eagle against Shoko Kasagi, and...
That was good. I enjoyed that movie. And he gets killed by a boat rotor. Good bad guy death. I always remember people by their deaths.
Exactly. Although I remember he does the splits on, like, barrels in that movie. Yeah. But, you know, when given the chance to sort of be a darker, more sinister sort of character, he rocks it. I mean, he really is such an underrated actor. People just think, oh, Street Fighter, and he sucks as an actor. Well, to you, I give the middle finger, bitches.
Yeah, I say watch Six Bullets, because his most recent movie, Six Bullets, was one of the best things he's done in years. It's arguably his best ever acting performance, where he actually acts in it. And the only downside I saw to the film was that he doesn't have any big sort of punch-up at the end of the movie, but aside from that, his acting in it was great. Good story, and I thought it was really good, and he acts with his son in it, of course, Chris.
Mm.
So if you haven't seen Six Bullets, you should definitely check it out.
I'll be checking it out, without a doubt. It's Van Damme. If he's in anything, I'll watch it. I mean, the only thing I pretty much haven't seen, and this also has Scott Adkins, is Assassination Games. I usually don't let bad word of mouth pull me off things. Yeah. I can't bring myself to watch it yet. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a huge Van Damme and Scott Adkins fan, but Assassination Games was pretty terrible. Well, the problem was, it looked cheap.
Mm.
And whenever you've got those two stars in it, I mean, the thing is, it wasn't that low budget. You know, I mean, I think I had a budget of like $12 or $13 million, and I've seen films with $2 or $3 million which look better than that.
Mm.
And but obviously, it's more for the salaries that all that money is going on. But Assassination Games is one of the worst Van Damme movies. It's easily the worst thing I've seen Scott Adkins in. But he's good in it. I mean, there's the odd moment in it, but I think it was definitely a missed opportunity. But it looks like they're making up for it with the Universal Soldier movie anyway.
So is Assassination Games better or worse than The Shepherd Border Patrol?
I actually kind of like The Shepherd Border Patrol because I like fight scenes at the end.
Yeah, I like.
So it's definitely worse than The Shepherd. I didn't mind The Shepherd. I'm a huge Van Damme fan. He was my childhood hero, even more so than Arne and Sly. So I will always have a kind word to say about any Van Damme movie. The worst Van Damme movie ever is Derailed, which I couldn't even finish watching.
Actually, that's the one I haven't seen. I mean, I worship Van Damme. It has been said that I love Van Damme more than he loves himself, so...
I doubt that.
I don't know. My Van Damme obsession knows no bounds. If he ever hears this, which I doubt he ever will, I love you so much. Van Damme, you're my hero.
I love you too, Mercy.
There he was. He just popped up, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a few I haven't actually seen. I guess... I mean, we'll kind of talk about, you know, the people in The Expendables 2. I guess this is our Van Damme segment. You know, for me, like, if you want to see Van Damme doing some awesome stuff, check out, obviously, JCVD, which he's a great, you know, he is acting in it. He's himself, but he's a different version of himself. Until Death and Wake of Death are just very dark movies, and he's Until really Death is great.
Very dark.
Yeah, I mean, he's phenomenal in both. I mean, they're really, really solid directs to DVD movies. They'd be sort of my more obscure recommendations as far as Van Damme goes.
My favourites, I mean, because me and my dad used to go watch Van Damme movies probably when I was growing up in the 90s. And the first movie I saw of his in the cinema was the original Universal Soldier. That's How Old I Am. I saw that in the cinema in 1992. I saw Hard Target, I saw Sudden Death, I saw The Quest, and saw all of his sort of theatrical movies. My favourite Van Damme movie is Sudden Death, Universal Soldier, and Hard Target. It's like joint, those three are my three favourite Van Damme movies.
Yeah, mine, I know my sort of thing always changes with, I just can never decide what I love the most with Van Damme, because I love you so much, Van Damme. But, you know, actually, The Expendables 2 was the first theatrical movie, like, movie I'd seen theatrically with Van Damme, because I was quite young. I wasn't really allowed to see the movies he was in, so yeah. I would always be away from home and watch his movies when they came out on video. So it was, you know, it was a bonus thrill. Like, my first, you know, movie in the theatre with Van Damme was The Expendables 2. But, you know, my favourites are probably, like, Bloodsport and Kickboxer and Double Impact. I mean, and, you know, so I just love it. But, you know, you bring up Universal Soldier. That is, like, one of my favourites. I love that movie so much. I love Van Damme in it, and I fucking love Dolph in that movie.
Hey, do you know it's in The Expendables 2? Van Damme does not do the splits.
I know. I don't know if he still can do them, though.
Probably not, yeah. Probably would never be able to stand up again or something. Yeah, like, I just broke my penis. So, yeah, probably wouldn't end up well from...
True fact, I could do the splits when I was younger, the way that he did them. Not so much now, so, yeah.
I've never been able to do them, never, ever, ever. I tried once, and I got a terrible cramp in my crotch,
like,
and never
did it. Ah, my ball sack!
Yeah.
That's what I imagine a man's reaction would be.
Yeah, it was pretty much worse than that.
But yeah, I guess, you know what, see anything Van Damme's in, because there's something good about all of them.
Yeah, Double Impact was great as well. That, I think, was Double Impact the first movie I watched? Because my cousin introduced me to Van Damme. And, God, that was, must have been, you know, late 80s,
early
90s.
My cousins introduced me to him too, because I was like, I don't know, 6 at the time. I was like really young.
Yeah, I think I was about 8 or 9 or something. And Death Warrant was a personal favourite as well. I loved The Sandman. It was so cool. See, whenever I got to interview the Sandman himself last year, that was one of the coolest things ever, because I'd been such a fan. And I always found him really scary, because he was one of the best Van Damme villains, because he was a great actor and he was just really creepy. He sort of reminded me of the Joker.
Death Warrant is actually such an underrated movie.
Yeah.
You know, from Van Damme. I mean, I have it in my collection, but it's actually not that easy to find.
Yeah, I got it in a double pack with Double Impact, actually, for $5, which I thought was a pretty sweet deal.
I have a few packs of Van Damme's. My favourite is Universal Soldier. Why am I going blank on names? Hard Target and Sudden Death?
Yeah.
I was going to say Sudden Impact, and that's not right.
Oh, that's Dirty Harry, which still equally deserves respect.
Yeah,
I think I have every single Van Damme film on DVD, apart from Monaco Forever and No Retreat, No Surrender, but I have every other film, I think.
Of course, I have the No Retreat, No Surrender anthology, because that has the first one, but then the next three in the so-called series, which have nothing to do with each other, star Lauren Avedon, who's like, my obscure favourite martial arts actor. Well, martial artist, then actor. But funny fact about Death Warrant, it was written by David S. Goyer.
Yeah, I remember watching that recently. I was like, sure, that's not the David S. Goyer. It was.
Yeah, definitely was. Oh,
but the thing was, because that was one of Van Damme's best movies in terms of story and everything. The only thing, remember me and Omar talked about this when we did the Van Damme dedication podcast a month or so ago, and we were saying, there's this totally pointless nerd character in it. You remember the teenage kid with the glasses, and he kept coming on to Thea Gibbs' character in her for like no reason whatsoever, and just like, well, this just totally ruins the whole tone of the movie.
Yeah. You know what? Super Podcast actually doesn't have a Van Damme episode because I really want to prepare and I actually want to watch the ones of his I haven't seen. So it'll be there eventually, although this is like a semi I love you, Van Damme podcast. Should we maybe move on? I don't know if you still wanted to talk about anything with the Expendables 2. We can go back to that. If you wanted to add anything, I mean, you know, when this was kind of getting shot and filmed, and I still say I'm definitely responsible for this, I found the quote from Chuck Norris saying it was going to be PG, and I wrote about it, and it just caught on everywhere, and then you had, you know, them saying, oh, yes, it is, and they're saying, oh, no, it's going to be a hard R, and blah, blah, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And when you actually watch it, the film doesn't have much bad language at all.
A single swear word.
And yeah, I'm thinking, is that possibly what Chuck Norris actually meant and something got lost in translation, that he maybe didn't want to see much bad language in the movie, but he doesn't care that he kills like 1,000 people in it?
Yeah, blowing heads up and, you know.
But swearing, fuck you.
Killing lots of people. Oh, no, you can't call somebody a fucker because, you know, that might offend somebody. And like, oh, Jesus, if you're offended by bad language, you really don't belong in this world.
So I'm not sure, like, what the hell the deal was, but I was kind of like, oh, Chuck Norris, blah, blah, blah. But then he shows up in this movie, and I was, like, cheering. It was absolutely awesome.
He stole the show. Yeah,
he really kind of did. It was awesome. Like, the scene, like, they're like, what the hell's going on? Like, all the bad guys are going down, and then Chuck Norris just shows up. With music that has nothing to do with him, but, you know.
Yeah, I know, it was like, that's actually Clint Eastwood's music.
But, yeah, but it was kind of fitting, though. And then he even tells a Chuck Norris fact.
Yeah, I loved that. That was really cool. It was kind of good because it showed that he could take a piss out of himself.
Yeah, he definitely, I think at first, I don't think he responded very well to the facts, but I think over time he's definitely embraced it. You can actually find him reading out the facts on YouTube, like his top 10 or something. But yeah, when he tells it, you're just there laughing. It's kind of lame, but it's kind of not. And it just works. Like, it's just such a classic moment. And then when he shows up later, it's just like, yeah! It's pretty sweet. I'm just like, I know that he doesn't really want to do any more film work, but I'm just like, can't you just do one more?
Do Invasion USA 2 or you Delta Force movie or something. Go on. And,
pass the torch or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a load of Chuck Norris movies. Like Invasion USA is my personal favourite, and then Delta Force 2. I know everyone is like, the first one's better, but I should prefer the second. I like his Missing in Action movies. I watched all of them recently, and they're good as well.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Chuck Norris fan. I mean, he has the emotional range of a cucumber, but I still enjoy him kicking ass in the
day. I do enjoy Chuck Norris. I mean, this is kind of embarrassing, but I did watch Walker Texas Ranger on TV. You know, I know that there's a few things wrong with it, but you know what? It had its heart in the right place, I think, despite some of its preaching. And I actually grew up a lot with Chuck Norris. I actually used to watch Sidekicks a lot when I was a kid.
I've never seen that.
It's so terrible. It's like this massive ego trip, but it's kind of fun in a really silly way. It's just like, wow, I wish that would happen to me. It's like, you know, I dream about fighting alongside Van Damme. Why can't he actually show up one day?
Yeah.
So, you know, I did have a lot of Chuck Norris, and you know, I've said this so many times, but I really love his work with Bruce Lee in Way of the Dragon, a.k.a. Return of the Dragon, a.k.a. has a million titles. Yeah. You know, he was such a great force in that film, and they have one of the most epic fight scenes of all time. He actually gets his chest hair ripped out by Bruce Lee. But he's done some questionable films, and I always think of The Octagon.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, what's with the voiceover?
It's like he's schizophrenic. He's schizophrenic. Yeah. He's hearing voices in his head. I'm like, what the fuck?
Wow.
You know, I'm just what the fuck is this shit? It's a weird movie.
She has nice tits. What are you talking about?
It's such a weird movie, but, you know, it's sort of classic stuff as well. But I've enjoyed Chuck Norris. It's funny, like, he shows up occasionally in movies. Like, he's got a cameo in Dodgeball and, you know, he has shown up from time to time. But, yeah, what he did with Expendables 2, it was just so much fun.
Speaking of cameos. I was talking about this with Omar earlier. In fact, I'm going to write a blog about it tomorrow if I can be arsed. Have you noticed how so many like action stars and everything, like Bruce Willis and Van Damme and whatever, they tend to just do cameo roles these days? It's like they have small roles. Like if you look at Universal Soldier Regeneration, Dolph and Van Damme are only really in a few scenes, and then you have Bruce Willis in a whole bunch of these straight-to-DVD movies, and he's only in like a couple of scenes. And it's like all these action stars now are only in a couple of scenes in movies, and then very rarely actually big roles. And like even Van Damme in The Expendables 2 was a small role.
Yeah.
Same with Chuck Norris was a cameo, and I was like, you know, as everybody just, you know, can't really be arsed doing a full film role. So I was like, oh, I'll just show up for a couple of scenes, get my paycheck and go to the pub.
Yeah, I think actually Bruce Willis is probably the most guilty of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going to seriously sit through this piece of shit again because I want to actually do a video review on it. I don't think I can write about it. I need to speak about it. And The Cold Light of Day, this is like the worst kind of movie of the year for me. It sucks so bad. I don't want to just be trashing a movie, but it's not good. I really want to be able to explain why. And Bruce Willis, he's barely in it, and he's sleepwalking through it. He does not want to be there. It's like, oh, some extra money. Like, ugh, I don't know, maybe, I don't know what it is, but I don't know why he said yes. It's something is very wrong with that film. And it's just kind of sad in a way just to see Bruce Willis show up for something like that.
It was a waste of talent. I mean, I was watching Henry Cavill in it, and I thought, this guy's playing Superman. I was like, I'm not entirely convinced about him yet. And I thought, well, I'll have to see a proper Superman trailer to get more of it. But that really wasn't a great showcase for his talent.
No, he's so bland. And even he seems to be sort of like, what the hell am I doing? I just don't give a crap. You know, it's so charismaless. Yeah. There is nothing there. And it's like, I don't want to see that with Superman. But it's the movie. Everybody just seems so bored with it. I really didn't like it at all.
Two scenes I liked. Scene where Bruce Willis meets the guy to death with a door. I love that part of the vengeance. That was cool, the car door.
Yeah.
And then there's a cool scene where, it wasn't an action scene, but it was a scene where Henry Cavill's character is talking to one of the guys, and I think it's one of the Israeli guys, one of the kidnappers anyway, and the guy's speaking in the street, but the guy is acting as if he's asking for directions. And gesturing like he's asking for directions, but he's actually asking about, you know, where his family is and everything. It's just the way that was done. I thought that was quite nicely done. But I couldn't even remember anything else about the film.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just one of those, like, why bother sort of movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just wait for Looper in a couple of weeks and see that, because it's apparently supposed to be good.
Yeah, I've got a screening next week for it, so...
Bastard. Oh, well, I beat you to Expendables, I suppose.
Yeah, so there you go. at least Looper seems like it has a bit more of Bruce Willis than just a really shitty cameo.
Yeah, it actually seems to be a starring role, and it's apparently supposed to be really good. I mean, I've been reading reviews just comparing it to The Terminator and things. So I'm like, okay, that sounds all right.
Yeah, I'm definitely down to check that out.
Yeah,
I don't know, where do we go from here? Are we done on Expendables 2? Do we want to talk about our other action stars in that movie?
We could talk about Dolph Lundgren's film that I watched recently called One in the Chamber with Cuba Gooding Jr. What happened to Cuba Gooding Jr.? You know, Oscar-winning actor, and he keeps starring in straight-to-DVD movies, but the problem is that some of them are actually quite good, and this is one of them. I really enjoyed One in the Chamber. I know a lot of people will instantly dismiss it because it's straight-to-DVD, but that's where we at the Action Elite are specialists, where we really quite like the straight-to-DVD movies, because that's where you get to see, you know, the real action movies these days, rather than, you know, the superhero
it's
movies.
True. It's not even like that. There's so many good horror movies that come out direct.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen so many great movies that just no theatrical release, and half the time it's like, why the hell would you not release that in the theatre?
Yeah, like Stakeland. Did you see Stakeland last
year? I haven't actually seen that yet. That actually really did have a theatre release here.
No, I don't think it did here. If it did, then I missed it. But
or a very, very limited one, I guess.
Yeah, I actually just went by Arrow in the Head, this review or something. They reviewed it or something, and I thought it sounded cool, and I just blind bought it on Blu-ray, and it was awesome.
Mm. Yeah, I know of one in the chamber. I went to sit to watch it, but it was like so late. I only got like 10 minutes in before I fell asleep because I was so tired.
The story and whatever is quite cool, but it's Dolph Lundgren's show. I mean, he just steals it because he's almost like Andrew Scott from Universal Soldier again. It's just got this great personality in it, and I just really dug it. Most other critics don't. I mean, any reviews I've seen tend not to like it and say that he's the only saving grace about it, but I actually really enjoyed all of it. I thought the action scenes were good, it was well-paced, and I thought it was good fun.
Actually, you know, speaking of the man, Dolph, you know what I really liked about The Expendables 2? I mean, obviously, I wish he was in it more. I wish everyone was in it more, but it's so hard to do when you have such an ensemble cast.
It was too short.
You know, he again was awesome. Like, you can't deny. I mean, he's a really good actor. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And what I liked, actually, was that they added this whole thing about how his character, Gunner, is like this chemical engineering guy, and he's, like, such a smart person. And then I'm thinking, but that's him in real life. And that's thought that was kind of cool that they added that in. But they actually brought it up later with something, which I thought was actually really smart in doing. It wasn't just brought up for, you know, just as a nod. That's they actually used it later, which was really good.
Yeah, it was just maybe sucked at it, but
yeah, something didn't quite work. But it was just, it was such a good, like, little thing that they did. Like, you know, it was really awesome.
Yeah, it was the kind of film that could easily have been an extra half an hour longer and would not have suffered from it, and it could have just had just a bit more of Van Damme in it and some longer fight scenes, because I think, controversial as this may be, I think I prefer the finale to the first movie to this one. I thought it was just more explosive and exciting than this one. I don't know, I mean, this one does have Van Damme fighting at the end. I mean, I prefer this one in terms of that fight scene, but in terms of, like, the big shootout, I think I preferred, you know, the Omaya Kaboom scene and everything from the first movie.
One pretty much just had, like, you had a scene of Stallone, Willis, Schwarzenegger with guns just shooting everyone. I mean, to see that, it's, like, crazy.
Yeah, I mean, to me, This was my Avengers. I mean, the comic book fans will love the Avengers this year, but for me, it was the Expendables for me, where seeing all of these characters on screen together, that means more to me than it did the Avengers. But I still thoroughly enjoyed the Expendables 2, despite it being too short.
Mm. Yeah, I want, like, a crazy director's cut with lots in it.
I mean, I would like to see a director's cut of it, like we've got the first one, because the director's cut of the first one was far superior, because they got rid of all, you know, like you said, the shaky cam and the CGI blood and everything, and it's just a more hardcore film.
Yeah, there's less, like, romance stuff, and, I mean, I thought just some of the musical cues were a bit silly, but...
Yeah, I don't understand the whole Boomley thing, which they keep saying to each other, where they were doing that in the plane, and I was like, why are you guys singing Boomley? Whatever, that's just really stupid. I don't know why they did that, but...
Don't ask me. You know, I actually, just going back to Dolph, I haven't seen a lot of his more recent, films, but they're definitely ones that I want to start watching. I mean, I've heard really good things about a lot of them. I did see, because I had it as a review to do on the site, which I also shared with Action Elite, which is In the Name of the King 2, Worlds, which it wasn't very good, but it's kind of worth seeing for him, because he's in his I don't give a shit mode.
Yeah.
act.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But, you know, I want to see some of his other stuff. Like you said, One in the Chamber, I actually want to sit and watch properly. And, you know, I actually think he's a really, really good actor.
He's so likable. And he quoted my review for One in the Chamber, I might add, on his Facebook page. Indeed. And that made my life complete.
Yes, I saw that. I was like, oh, wow.
I nearly passed out. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The highlight of my year. And I was like, my wedding day is going to have to be pretty spectacular.
You'd have to marry Dolph Lundgren to top that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the only way of doing it is marrying Dolph himself.
Yeah. But yeah, he's such a cool dude. I really love the Dolph. And,
yeah.
You know, he was really good in the episode of Chuck that he was in, because I was a big fan of that show. And they always had really good guest stars, and he was in it once. I was like, holy crap, Dolph's in it. Awesome. But yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of love for Dolph. I probably wouldn't say no if he offered certain things to me. Much like I wouldn't probably say no to Van Damme either.
Indeed. The first Dolph movie I saw in the cinema was Masters of the Universe. I actually saw that in the cinema as a child. I can't remember if did I see Rocky IV? I probably did see Rocky IV, but I was too young to remember it. But I do remember seeing Masters of the Universe and loving it as a child. And it's so funny how you can love something so much as a child and watch it as an adult, and you're like, oh dear. And you know, it's you got Gwildor and everything. You're like, "Fuck's Gwildor? Why is Orko not in this?" You know, all these important things which bother you about it. But because I was a huge He-Man fan whenever I was a kid,
It's not the movie they should have made.
No,
but and Dolph actually, he looks like a wax figure. He looks like a Ken doll in the movie. Yeah,
he's too shiny.
It's really weird, but hilariously, Frank Langella plays Skeletor.
Yeah, I loved him as Skeletor. He was the best thing about it.
He was really interesting.
He was just so enjoyable. What was the other? There's another Dolph movie I was thinking of.
Red Scorpion.
Oh, yeah. I love Red Scorpion.
That's a really cool movie.
That's actually one of his best films because I love the story to it. I remember watching it with my dad, and I'm sure dad would be delighted for me to say this on air, but... I believe that was the first time I ever heard the expression fucking A, and was watching that, and I must have been about 9 years old or something at the time. But what you got is Emmett Walsh, is that the actor's name?
Yeah.
And he just kept going, fucking A, all the time. I remember watching that as a kid, and I loved it, and I'm waiting to get it on Blu-ray, but it's still too expensive. But I loved Red Scorpion, I guess, one of my very favourite Dolph Lundgren's in that films. But I'll also put my hand up to say that I actually really enjoy his Punisher movie as well, for the sheer body count in it.
I know, I actually saw it when I was away. I know you did. I did a blind commentary where I'd never seen it. Did the commentary. I was too confused by this movie. I did not get anything with it. It's really ridiculous.
Yeah. I love how there's one bit where he's driving this bus, and he turns right on the steering wheel, but then the bus blatantly turns left. And you might want to just, you know, correct that detail before, you know, checking it.
Continuity.
Yeah.
Does not exist in this dojo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, as we're talking about Dolph, I'm just reading, and this sounds like it's an old story. But I need to see if there's a date. Yeah, it is an old story. Somebody's, like, reposted when somebody broke into Dolph Lundgren's house, saw his photo, and then ran off, realizing it was his house.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
That is hilarious. Like, imagine doing that.
I know. Oh, that reminds me of whenever I watched The Expendables 2 a second time. The story which he tells about him being a chemical engineer, and then whenever he went and was working in a nightclub and was seeing a girl, that was all true. And the girl was Grace Jones.
I actually thought it was kind of cool that they did that with him.
Yeah.
They added that stuff, you know, it's cool. Yeah.
I loved it. On my second viewing of The Expendables 2, me and my dad went to see it last week, and it was the first Van Damme movie me and my dad have seen in a long time. It was just a really cool thing to do, to go see it with him, because that was the kind of stuff we'd go see. Because I'd be like, Dad, do you want to go see The Avengers? No. Okay. So, you know, not interested in any superhero movies. Just prefers the old school action movies, which you know, I'm the same, but I'll still give them a watch anyway. But no, it's just really a fun experience seeing Expendables 2 in a cinema. And that was the thing. Whenever we would go there, it would be older people in the audience. I mean, there's these two old guys, and they're literally in their 70s or something, and they were sitting watching it, and they were loving every second of it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's funny because I think the Expendables 2 or the Expendables, there was definitely a sense of like older people going to watch it. Not like, when I say older, I mean not a fucking shitty 12-year-old teenager.
Yeah.
You actually had, you know, people my age, people older, actually appealing to them. It's not something for younger people.
No, it's a grown-ups movie, and that's why I love to go see it, you know, because the kids commandeer the cinema these days. You know, it's all family movies, it's all superheroes and cartoons and stuff like that, and that's why I love the Expendables movies so much, despite the flaws in their old-school, hard-R action movies, which we just don't get to see much in the big screen anymore, and I think the success of these movies has really proven that there's still a market out there for it.
Yeah,
speaking
there,
of which, have you seen how the Expendables 2 has made $235 million now worldwide, so
yes,
it's doing all right. So hopefully it might even exceed the first movie, and then we get part three. Hooray!
Yeah, and I want to be in part three. I want to be I could be the sort of now weirdo character of Jean Villain, and I could be out for revenge.
Yeah.
Could be Mrs. Villain.
Yeah.
That works for me. Mrs. Villain.
No, you can be Villainess.
Villainess, even better. Yeah, I think I would make the best villain for the Expendables.
What I demand, and right, if anybody from Lionsgate is listening, don't give IGN or any of the other sites the trailer for The Expendables 3. You give that to the Action Elite. Okay, we are the target audience here, so we'll get the exclusives. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, done. You do
that. There we go.
Yep.
we'll find you.
We'll find you, and I'll kill you. Taken style.
I'll kill you.
Yeah. Again, I think, actually, Liam Neeson for The Expendables 3.
Yeah, and I would like a wee Clint Eastwood line, even if it's just like one scene where he's standing with a cigar or whatever. It's just like, you're all a bunch of candy asses or something. That's all he needs to say.
Yeah, I know we've seen kind of their wish list. I'm like, please make it happen. But my idea for The Expendables 3 is they should have, like, I don't know, the bad guys maybe, whatever they can work it out to be. I mean, either you do sort of this... you know, maybe even have Jet Li kind of turn on them or something. But have, like, a Hong Kong crew. And you could have, like, Jackie Chan.
Triad or something.
You could put, you know, you could have, like, those old-school Hong Kong guys, like Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, all those dudes. Have Jet Li and their crew. Have, like, why am I forgetting his name?
Led by Chow Yun-fat.
There we go. I forgot his name. I mean, you could do that. That would be awesome. Or
directed by John Woo. There you go.
Fuck yeah, I would watch that movie.
Sold.
All the time. Or seriously, get Gareth Evans to do this movie. I know he's a total newbie, but his two movies, his two, like, actual, not speaking of his documentary, but his two movies are so phenomenal. Get him to do it and have freaking, you know, this Asian bad crew, and you could have, like, the people from The Raid in it and, you know, other people. You could still have, like, Jackie Chan and them, and they're just, like, this badass gang of people. I would be down for that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's lots of things they could do with it, but there's a couple of actors I still want to see. Steven Seagal has to be in it, even if he just has a beanbag in it. He could do that.
Do you know how he could appear in it? You could just have, a stand-in, because that's basically what he does with his movies these days. It's barely him. It's a stand-in and someone doing voiceover.
Yeah. He just does it for the paycheck, because he's under contract with Sony or something, I believe it was. He's more interested in music and saving the whales or some shit.
Saving the seals? I don't fucking know.
But yeah, I mean, I like Steven Seagal, but I'd like Mel Gibson to be in it as well.
Yeah, I would be down, actually.
He is a legend of action, and he deserves to be, even if it's just a small role.
Forget about his personal life, all that crap.
Yeah.
He makes for a really good action dude.
Yeah, I mean, hell, look at Arnie. You know, I mean, you know, is he a great guy in real life? No, look at his soft season. I mean, you know, everybody is flawed in real life. Who cares about what they do in real life? Their movies rock. I mean, look at Get the Gringo this year. That's one of the best action movies of the year.
I haven't seen it yet, but I will. It's
oh,
one
wait
that
till you
I
see it. You'll
wanna...
love it. It's Gibson back on his best.
As I hear, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, where were we going with that? Oh, yeah, Expendables 3.
Yeah.
I mean, who else really, like, could we have in it?
Vin Diesel and The Rock could be, I suppose, but, you know, just have them in it, but it would be too much of the Fast and Furious sort of reunion there, so The Rock should be in it, Dwayne Johnson. I think he should have a part in it. He even wants a part. He wanted a part in the second one. So it would be kind of cool to see him, because what they should do is, you know, you have the old guys. I mean, if you have this third movie, then you maybe bring in the younger guys and, you know, introduce, you know, a younger crew, sort of, here's the next generation. But problem is, there isn't a next generation, really, apart from Scott Adkin.
Yeah, I mean, you could have maybe, you know, people like, or, you know, or kind of like, you know, young martial arts like Scott Adkins. You could have people like that. They could either be the bad guys, or they could be sort of a different crew that they call in to help them against some other force.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many ideas, and I don't want to go into it too much, because hopefully our next podcast, we are actually going to pitch to the Asylum what their ripoff of the Expendable series should be.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, what would you call it?
We'll reveal that on the podcast, on that podcast. Hopefully, that will be our next podcast. But we have many ideas, crazy storylines. Everything's all set out. And at some point as well, I'm actually going to pitch an idea to Uwe Boll what his next movie should be. And it'll be his absolute masterpiece. I want Uwe Boll to make a good movie.
Okay.
And my pitch is actually that's going to get him there. I'm going to go on a massive campaign, because I want him to listen to it. It's going to be just a pitch with me to Uwe Boll. It might be a video.
Facebook,
I don't
just
know.
Tag him.
Well, I don't know. I need to find his online presence. I want people to be sharing it like crazy. This is going to happen. I'll be doing it soon. I might be doing it as a video.
Yeah, he's a friend of mine on Facebook, so just add him.
I should. I want this to reach Uwe Boll. I want Uwe Boll to personally contact me over what I'm doing. So it has to happen. I'm determined for Uwe Boll to get this pitch. So, you know.
I think what your pitch should be for the Expendables 3, where, as with every as the third entry or whenever it gets later on in the series, they have to go into space at some point. And I think they need to, like, be called onto a space station or whatever, and then a predator and some aliens are on board. There you go, there's your bad guys right there.
Well, unfortunately, Uwe Boll has too many friends on Facebook, and I can't even subscribe to his updates, so...
Oh, really? Yeah, that's too bad.
Well, that sucks. But I will get to him. It says I can send him messages. I'm going to bother this person who may or may not be the real Uwe Boll. He's going to get my pitch.
Yeah.
It's happening. but anyway, should we, I don't know, we kind of want to wrap up our Expendables discussion, because it's actually gone on a bit longer than I thought it was going to. I don't know, I guess I've probably said what I needed to say. I mean, I love the shit out of this movie. I loved, you know, stuff like Chuck Norris. I loved Van Damme. I loved Scott Adkins. I thought it was cool seeing Willis, Schwarzenegger, and Stallone teaming up at parts. You know, there were some cool fight scenes. There were some cool moments. It's just a great, fun movie. I'll be watching it quite often. And
oh, yeah.
I actually forgot to mention that Nan Yu, if that's how you pronounce her name, you know, that she was really good. And actually having a female with them wasn't a bad idea. It actually worked. They kind of... made it an interesting relationship. It wasn't a romantic one. It was very respectful. And I found that it did work.
There you go. Bring in Gina Carano as the villain for part 3 and have a female villain where she has to kick some serious ass. Have Nan Yu come back and they have a fight.
That could work. Or you could just
put...
I mean, I want to be the main villain in Expendables 3, but I could have henchwomen.
Yeah, I want Cynthia Rothrock in it as well. I mean, what the hell? She's not been in it yet. She's a legend.
Yeah, Cynthia. She's someone who just like should have taken off in the US market, but so didn't.
Yeah, and the world wasn't ready for a female action star.
She was such, you know, the way she could do things. I mean, she's phenomenal. She could kick anybody's ass, and she's still going strong today. So.
Yeah, she's actually on Facebook. I tried adding her on Facebook, but she has too many friends.
She does actually have a second one.
Yeah. Oh, so it is actually real, because I thought that, you know, one was fake and one was real or
no,
whatever.
She does have them. I think she opened up a second one to have more people.
I might approach her for an interview then. I'll have to watch some of her films first.
there's quite a few. It's kind of like... with Lauren Avedon, he has two accounts just because he couldn't add more on one, so he opened up another one to be able to still be in contact with people.
Yeah.
And which helped me, because when I shut down one of my accounts, I lost him as a friend. I couldn't re-add him on that one, so I was actually able to keep him as a friend on my other page, so it worked out on his other page, I mean. So it was good.
Yeah. I love it whenever you find, you know, forgotten heroes on Facebook or whatever. And you're just like, oh my God, I love that guy. Oh, I love that guy. You know, and these heroes from the 80s.
Yeah, totally. It's awesome.
I have Al Long on Facebook. Remember Al Leong, the silent Asian henchman from every 80s action movie, like Die Hard and everything, the long hair.
Yes.
And the Fu Manchu. And he was in, like, Die Hard and Lethal Weapon and Big Trouble in Little China. Mm. And all were classics.
Mm. Definitely. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I don't know. I guess we keep going, like, off topic. I guess that's a wrap on Expendables 2 discussion.
I think so.
And I guess we'll just go on. You've seen a few films that... I mean, one was at a festival that's... Well, I don't know if it's actually anyone's bought this film, so other people might not be seeing it for a while. And then one that is, I don't know if it's, is it out there yet?
It's out next week.
Okay, no, out next week.
The 21st. Yeah.
I'm not sure when it's out here, but I know it is soon. So you saw Laws of Salem, which is Rob Zombie's latest, and Dredd, the Judge Dredd reboot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Another version of it.
Yeah, Dredd was fantastic. One of my favourite films of the year. It's so violent. It's kind of like The Raid. If you like The Raid, you'll love Dredd. It's not quite as violent as The Raid, alas, but it's still really good. Carl Urban was great. Doesn't take the helmet off once. Growls. He's just sort of like a futuristic Dirty Harry. And awesome. The music was cool. Beautiful 3D and slow-mo. And I'm not a big fan of 3D. Sometimes it hurts my eyes, but it worked really, really well in this movie and just really immersed you into the whole film. And definitely in my top 10 movies of the year. Really worth seeing.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about it. I'm really excited to see it. I'm just actually going to try and log in and see when it comes out here.
Yeah. The Lords of Salem, on the other hand, I was really looking forward to, because I'm a huge Rob Zombie fan. Like, I saw him in concert. I enjoyed House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects. Not so much as Halloween movies, but I've really been looking forward to this, because I thought it was a cool idea. So I think I might have been a bit harsh in my review. I gave it like 1.5 stars out of 5. Maybe it deserves 2. But it was beautifully shot. Like, the cinematography was fantastic, and it had this whole sort of 70s look to it, and had really cool lighting and stuff like that. I thought it was really... that part was cool, but it didn't really sort of build up into anything. It just sort of dragged on, and, you know, nothing happened. And there's sort of a few forced abortions in it and things like that, which, you know, isn't exactly fun viewing.
No, I wouldn't say so.
No. So, yeah, I mean, it's gross, not gory. It's not scary. It's sort of atmospheric. Cool music. The acting was good. Cherry Moon Zombie was excellent in it. And, you know, the rest of the cast were excellent. But just wasn't really my cup of tea. But it's the kind of film that you think about after watching it. And it's been going through my head, a lot of the visuals in it and everything, and so I do appreciate what Zombie was trying to do with it, but it just really wasn't my cup of tea.
Mm. Yeah, I'm curious to see it. I mean, I'm not going to know what I'll make of it, but having really liked all of Zombies films except Halloween 2, and I've heard this is very different from what he's done before, I'm curious to see.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how it actually pans out. I'm just looking. I don't think we get Dread till fucking a week before my birthday, which is next month, so I'm not impressed with that. I don't like these long waits for things. Not too happy about that.
So, yeah. Well, it's very good. I know you can take my word for it.
Yeah, I'll be excited to check
it. I'll see it again. I mean, I saw it as part of the Toronto Film Festival, but when it's out, I'll probably go see it because my brother will want to see it. And I thought it was really cool. I wanted to actually see Lawless. I haven't seen Lawless yet because Bane is in it. But unfortunately, Shia LaBeouf is in it as well.
Well, from what I've heard, he's actually really good in it. So
I've heard. I mean, it's not that he's a bad actor. It's just because, you know, he was in Transformers and Indiana Jones 4. So, you know, he's got that against him. But I remember quite enjoying that movie. What was that one that sort of was a remake of Rear Window, was it?
Disturbia,
yeah. That wasn't bad.
Yeah, this is in my collection. I don't actually mind it.
Morse is in it. David Morse rocks.
Yeah, definitely. Lawless, I'm not sure when that's out here. It should be maybe a couple of weeks. I'm saying a couple of weeks. It could be fucking who knows when.
February. Yeah.
You know, 3 years from now. I'm actually not sure when that comes out. I hope it's apparently October 11th here.
That's not too bad. It's only a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen it yet. I mean, it's been out here for about 2 weeks. It hasn't exactly set the box office like that. Possession and shit's been at number one instead.
Yeah, I don't know. Audiences can be really weird. I guess, you know, as far as action stuff goes, you know, there are some things coming out soon. Like we said, Looper, which has action elements. Taken 2.
Yeah.
As well.
Skyfall. That'll be massive.
Definitely Skyfall. There still are a few things, you know. We still have Dread coming out.
Universal Soldier: Day of Reckoning. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, oh my god, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I just can't wait. I want it now.
Bring new pants with you because you've got Scott Adkins and Van Damme together again.
And Dolph Lundgren. So I'll just be like, oh god, I just want to be in a crazy orgy with those three guys, and then I'll just go hide right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving swiftly on.
Moving right along. I don't know. I haven't really been to the theater much just because of my health and all that. I mean, I can actually say, here in Melbourne, my city where I live. We are actually having a really fantastic film festival. It starts Halloween night, and the opening film is The ABCs of Death. And the film festival is called Monster Fest, which will be run by Monster Pictures Australia. And it was just announced yesterday with the program. So it's actually looking really excited. There's going to be some great titles and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll definitely be reporting about that when that happens. I mean, it starts Halloween. So, you know, next month is my big viewing because I have 31 days of horror.
Yeah.
So pretty much my aim is, and I burnt out last year because I just tried to do too much. So I'm sort of scaling back what I'll be doing, but I'll be watching a horror movie I haven't seen, one for each day of October. So there'll be 31 films, and I won't be doing full length reviews. I'll be doing sort of mini reviews every couple of days for the movies, and I'll also be doing video logs for them. So I'll be doing that because I want to watch the 31 movies. I want to see 31 horror movies I haven't seen before, but I also don't want to burn myself out by writing full reviews and da 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 da. So I'm trying to take it a bit more easy. So, you know, that'll be upcoming on the side. I'll have reviews of that. My list is going up Monday, I believe. My Monday, people's other side of the world is Sunday, so there's an interesting list of 31. I've got old stuff, more recent stuff, all sorts of interesting stuff. And yeah, just go supermarcy.com. I currently, for this month of September, I'm doing a blogathon, which I'm doing with AJ, who is one of our podcast regulars, and he has his own website, which is sinnerslice.wordpress.com. And we pretty much, for each week of September, we gave each other a film the other one hadn't seen. So far I've watched Miracle Mile and Swimming to Cambodia, and my reviews are on the website. So we still have two more films each to watch, and his the films I gave him are reviewed on his website. And I recently covered the Russian Resurrection Film Festival, so there's a few reviews on the site for that. And I've got, you know, DVD and Blu-ray reviews for things like Treasure of the Black Jaguar, The Raid, The Kid with a Bike being Elmo, so there's all sorts of cool stuff on the site. So I've not had too much theatrical stuff going on. There we go. I can rant a lot.
That reminds me, I was told by somebody that I was going to be getting screeners about a month or so ago, and I never got any.
And that's not good. I have quite a lot of actually DVDs and screeners, so the site is just going to be full of reviews next coming days. I have an upcoming interview that I'll be writing up, and it's for a really interesting documentary, which I'll have the review up for as well. So there'll be lots of interesting stuff. I haven't actually had a chance to watch it yet, but one of the big releases for one of the distributors is a movie called Hirokan, The Last Samurai. And listen to this cast: Wes Bentley, Julian Sands, and Angus McFadden.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued. it's got to be interesting at least. So, yeah. And I have another one called Alien Gateway with Drew Flanagan and John Rhys-Davies.
Oh, so, my friend John.
Yes, my friend John too. so yeah, those will be up on the site as well, and some other interesting ones. So yeah, there'll be a lot of crazy action at supermarcy.com. And if you haven't seen already, I did a video. It's called Marcy's Tribute to VHS. It's actually me talking for 30 minutes about video, and I go through my entire collection that I still have of my videos. I had really great feedback from it, so if you haven't seen it, check it out. You can listen to me and some of my rather embarrassing moments and stuff. So there is that. And of course, make sure, I guess we'll kind of wrap it up. You know, make sure you go to theactionelite.com and check out all of, you know, the awesome stuff that is going on there. Owen has, you know, everyone that contributes has lots of cool reviews, and of course, Owen does some really awesome interviews, if you want to plug some of those recent ones.
Well, John Rhys-Davies was our first video interview. Yeah, and nice. I'm hopefully about to interview in the next few days Robert Davi from Die Hard and James Bond, so I'm hoping to interview him.
Can you tell him that he is the shit in Showgirls?
Oh, he's shit in everything. He's awesome.
And you'd be like, I loved your cheetah vest in Showgirls.
We also interview Patrick Kilpatrick, who played the Sandman in Death Warrant. A bunch of directors and screenwriters. Chad Law, who wrote Six Bullets. Derek Kolstad, who wrote One in the Chamber. And Ruul Reyna, who directed Death Race 2 and 3 and the Scorpion King sequels and a bunch of action movies. Pretty much anybody who's done anything in the straight-to-DVD world that I've interviewed. So.
Which is awesome. So. Yeah.
I'm looking to interview action stars next, so Dolph, call me, baby.
Dolph, call me, but we'll do something else. I mean, what? Shutting up. I don't know if I should actually send this podcast to Van Damme or Dolph or Scott.
Probably not a good idea, no.
They'll be like, all right, restraining order against this person. Just a disclaimer, this is all in good fun. I'm not stalking them. I'm just big fans.
Not in any way.
No, I don't have hidden cameras in Van Damme's house. I mean, what?
Of course not. Why would you?
Don't know. No. Anyway. Well, this was definitely an interesting podcast. I'm glad, you know, it has been a little while since we've had a super podcast, so I would like to extend a huge thank you to you, Owen, for, you know, joining me for the podcast. And I'm glad we finally, I know we've been talking about this for like 10 months, we finally got it done. And I hope you listeners enjoy it. And as I said, you can always... you know, find me, supermarcy.com, find Owen at The Action Elite. You can also find me there. I have some contributions and hopefully we'll be doing some more. Just, it's going to depend when I get action movies to review.
Yeah. Although I will be launching the Horror Elite, though, in the next week or two.
So we'll have that and I'll definitely be on there, being that I always just get so many horror movies to watch. You can follow me on Twitter at, you know, supermarcy and... Is it The Action Elite for Twitter, or am I wrong?
No, for Twitter, it's at Keep Action Alive.
Keep
each
Action
words
Alive.
Begins with capital, so it's capital K, capital A, capital I, so
Keep Action,
Action
Alive. It is The Action Elite on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, I knew one was different.
Facebook and theactionelite.com.
Yeah, so everything's all there. And of course, Super Podcast is on Facebook under that. You'll get our podcast, you'll get website updates. It's very cool. And, yeah, and if you want to send hate mail, just send it to Owen. Don't send it to me.
I'll send you hate mail right back.
He will. I wouldn't even test that theory. He will.
Yeah.
yeah, well, thanks for joining and thanks to our listeners. And, yeah, hopefully Super Podcast will be back very soon with our pitch to the asylum. So catch you later,
we'll
guys.
Look forward to that.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.